There we go. It's good to see you all. Today's sermon is going to come from the gospel reading we just heard from the Gospel of St. Luke. It's one of those stories that we've probably heard before, and yet there's a great depth to it that we want to explore, always gaining more and more knowledge of our blessed Lord and Savior. And it's found in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, and it's about the catching of the multitude of fishes. And so what I thought I would do is just walk through this story verse by verse. We'll go for about 10 or 15 minutes and just point out some of the highlights of the passage and how it applies to our own lives today. So what happens at the beginning is that a crowd is appearing to follow Jesus. So Jesus is now attracting crowds of people. And it says in the scriptures, they're pressing in on him. In other words, they're running out of space on this little beach here for the people to stand. And everybody's pushing him back all the way to the water. And so Jesus turns around and he scans and he sees two boats that have just come in. And he thinks to himself, okay, what I'll do is get in the boat. We'll push off just a little bit. And then I can teach the people. And so he picks, not by accident, of course, this is our Lord we're talking about. He picks Peter. And this is what he says. He said, well, first of all, Peter was there and he was washing the nets. And so he picks Peter's boat. But you have to understand something. Peter was out all night long fishing. Okay. And this isn't fishing like we think of fishing today, where you're out on the water and you have electronics and you have navigation guiding you and you have lights and all kinds of things. You're talking about guys with netted, you know, nets and knots, and all they've got for light is maybe a candle or a torch. This is what they have, and they're in the middle of the water working overnight. And in those days, Rome didn't particularly like when you fished at night. And the reason they didn't like it is because they taxed the fish that you catch and everything. It's much harder to see at night, and it's a lot easier to sneak those fish through the tank without getting taxed. And so they preferred you fish by day. And the fact that he fished all night, he didn't fish till like 1 a.m. or midnight or 2 a.m. He fished all night long. And some of the commentators that I read say that this shows a bit of a desperation on his part, in the sense that something must have been going on in his life where he needed the money. He was desperate in some way, because people didn't typically work the entire night through all the way until first thing in the morning, until sun up. And so here's Peter out on the water and he's working until sun up. And they just get back, right? And so they're on the shore now. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, hey, let's get out in the boat a little bit. Let's you know, take me out there so I can teach. Now, I just want to put you in the place of Peter for a moment. I don't know about you. I'm pretty cranky when I'm up all night. I'm pretty tired when I'm up all night. I'm not enjoying the morning when I'm up all night. I just want to go to bed. I think if we reflect for a minute, instead of just reading the passage, but reflect on the humanity of Peter for a minute. The guy's out there because he's desperate for money, so it seems. He works as hard as he can all night long and catches nothing, so now he's depressed, he's frustrated, and he's thinking about what? Going home to tell his family that he failed. So what kind of mood are you in at that point? Exhausted, you've done nothing productive, and all that labor seems to be at naught, right? So then you get to the shoreline and you're like, okay, and now I got to clean up this whole mess. Now think about how much work went into cleaning up that boat when you're done a whole night fishing, organizing all those nets so they don't get tangled and knotted up and everything else. And now all of a sudden here comes this little Jewish guy and he says, hey, get the boat, push it out. I don't know. I probably would have said, you know, I think I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go home. But Peter did. So Peter lets him in the boat. And I think at this point, Peter is a little bit confused. He sees the crowds. He's like, who's this guy? But you have to remember something. His whole life being a Jew was raised with this messianic expectation. Everything about that whole movement permeated him. And never had that messianic expectation been more heightened than when Rome was oppressing them. So now you have Roman oppression. You're fishing at night trying to sneak your fish by so you don't get taxed because you don't have any money and you're frustrated and all that. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy and these crowds are following him. So I think he lets him in the boat because he sees that something's going on, and he sees something in Christ. So he pushes off a little bit, and Jesus continues to teach. Certainly we would say that that teaching must have had an impact on Peter, because after he's done teaching, he says to Simon, hey, I have an idea. Let's put out into the deep water and let down our nets. I wouldn't be too thrilled with that. And how does Peter respond? He says, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. nothing all night long. And what does he say? Let's go back and try again. So the first life lesson that I think we gain from this passage is Peter's response to that. But I'll do as you say and let down the nets. There are times in our lives when we can't hear Christ because we haven't stopped talking and started listening. In Orthodox theology, the deepest prayer is silence. The deepest prayer is moving beyond the words and hearing, because the Christian faith is like the flower that turns toward the sun to receive sustenance. And so the Christian turns toward Christ to receive that life-giving sustenance. But we have to follow Christ, and we have to listen to Christ, and we have to quiet ourselves and humble ourselves. And I think in his teaching, Peter hears the voice of Christ, and something inside of him is transformed. Because what else would drive him out into the water? There's really nothing you could say to make me go back to work. I probably wouldn't do it. But something about Christ, and something about what he was teaching, and something about the whole messianic movement, and the whole movement of God permeated Peter in a way that maybe he had never experienced before. And so he responds in this way: at your word, I'll go back out into the deep and let out my nets. And here we see this incredible lesson about the difficulty of the Christian faith. Because when we pray and listen many times, almost every time, Christ calls us to the hard thing. The thing that we don't want him to call us to, the thing we don't want to hear, the thing that we don't want to accomplish, we don't want to do it. We just don't want to do it. And sometimes we'll rationalize in our own voice, in our minds, and say, this isn't really prayer. It's not really his voice. He doesn't really want me to do this. And I'm sure that Peter's thinking those things inside of himself. But how does he respond? He does it. And we'll see in a moment the reward for doing it, but he does it. And I think that that's the first life lesson we take from this passage, is this concept of hearing Christ, listening to Christ, and doing it. And doing it. The will of Christ, not our will be done, thy will be done. And so he does it, and they go back out. Now when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. I think more than anything else, I'd love to see the joy in Jesus' face watching these guys struggle. No fish all night. Fishing sucks. I hate fishing. I'm going home. I've got nothing. This is horrible. To, holy crap, the nets are breaking. Get the other boat. We're going to sink. I don't know what we're going to do. Oh my gosh. And you have to understand the financial impact of what is happening right now. This doesn't happen, right? This is like winning the mega bucks, you know, winning the lottery. All of Peter's sort of desperation, financial problems are lifted. And in this moment, he's all of a sudden like, I can go home glorious tonight. And so you would think, how is he going to respond? He's going to be celebrating, jumping up and down, screaming, laughing. And I'm sure there was plenty of that going on until the boat started sinking because they got so many fish. But all of these emotions are happening. And we would think in ourselves, if I won the lottery, if all my problems dissipated in a moment's time, how would I respond? This is how Peter responds with our second life lesson. After it had happened, and after they got this great quantity of fish and their nets began to break, so they signaled to the partners on the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw him, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He recognized in the teaching of Christ, in the presence of Christ, and in the miraculous fish of Christ, who Christ was. And he didn't say, stick with me, stay with me. Everywhere I go, I want you with me. He said, go away. Because he saw his true self. And Christ reveals to us, like a mirror, our true selves. And in seeing his true self, the gruff fisherman who had a short temper, was probably the best guy to hang out with at the bar, probably got in a fight once a week, sees himself who he really is, and he falls down at the feet of Christ, and he kneels down and says, go away from me, from a sinful man. And this life lesson is for us to teach us humility. And if we don't learn humility, then we'll be humbled, as Peter was humbled in this moment. For every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Christ as Lord. And so here he is in this moment, not jumping up and down, recognizing the significance who this man was. And all the promises from his childhood, one day, were fulfilled in that moment, the Christ. And so it says that they signal to the fire. They got the other boat, blah, blah, blah. But then Simon Peter saw him, fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of his catch of fish. And in this moment, you could almost just see him just like, this has happened. These guys have been doing this their whole lives. This is their life. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen, right? And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear." You would almost think in that moment, the last thing that anybody would be thinking about is fear. It's joy, right? No. Simon Peter is so humbled and so in the recognition of who Christ is. He just falls down. Jesus says, "Don't fear." And this is a lesson. Our actual selves, when we remove all the mess and we look at the interior life of ourselves, we're afraid to bring before Christ. In the same way Peter wouldn't give him his dirty feet, like, "You're not washing my feet." Our lives are hidden, even in ourselves sometimes, because we're afraid to acknowledge who we truly are. We're afraid to acknowledge, because if we acknowledge that before the divine presence of God, we'll be rejected just the way people reject us, just the way the world would reject us, if they really knew who we were. And what does Christ say to that? "Simon, when you authentically come to me like that, don't be afraid." He already knows it all. He knows who you are. He knows who Peter is. He knows the foul mouth. He knows the fighting in the pubs. He knows all of his crude jokes. He knows all of that. And in that moment, Peter recognizes he knows all that. And so Jesus reminds him to not be afraid. Come to me, right? So in that lesson, we learn to come as we are to Christ. Peter says these words to him, "I'm a sinful man." That's the beginning of a relationship with Christ. I'm a sinful man. I'm in need of a Savior. For the amazement that seized them all and his companions because of the catch of fish, they were taken. And so they were James, John, who said all that. And he says, "Do not fear. Now you will be catching men." In the same way you've trained your whole life to catch fish, in the recognition of who you are, in the ability to acknowledge who you are before me, you no longer have to be afraid. And through that, we'll change the world together. That's what he's saying to Peter. And it concludes this way: when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I asked myself when I read this, how many of us are willing to leave everything to follow him? I'm a priest and I struggle with that. But in that moment, meeting the true Christ, nothing else matters. Everything else is so insignificant, right? And so he leaves everything and he follows Christ. And that's the call of the Christian faith. So in this little story, we get the totality. It's not about the miracle of fishes. That's a beautiful thing. The fishes were spent, the money was spent, that all went away. It was about the life-transforming moment of humanity coming into the presence of Christ, humbling ourselves before him, meeting the true Christ, and being called to a mission greater than ourselves, which is to bring people to reconciliation with God. And so that's what this passage is all about. And I guess our concluding thought would be, in what ways, if we're listening, has God spoken to you and called you to the things that are difficult? The things you said, that wasn't really him. Let's try again. And in what ways could we glorify God if we gave our full potential unto him? Humbly recognizing our sin. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For God truly is one. Amen.